The Cat Attack Podcast. Kurz Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Welcome to the Kurz Hire Cat Attack Podcast. I did it in one of the most extraordinary openings moments ago, and King, you forgot to plug the thing in, so it will never see the light of day. But welcome. We've got a special guest. Before we get a special guest, Kurz Hire, bring us the Cat Attack Podcast.
They do.
Joaquin. No. I have to use that gag again. Kingy laughed the first time. He's even laughing the second time. But Jared and the team at Kurz Hire bring us this podcast each and every week. Last week I said it was the Lick the Wounds edition. This week it is the Walking Wounded edition, the Cats.
You're going to go John Tapp in a moment.
Got absolutely mauled on Saturday over there. And just, man, sitting just to my right, we've got another special guest. Bill, you are only our fourth ever special guest on the Kurz Hire Cat Attack Podcast.
And we've been doing,
I think it's four or five. We've been doing this since Jesus was subbed off against Jerusalem. But Bill Robert joins us all the way from the US of A, from Boston, in fact. And right. Bill, welcome to the Kurz Hire Cat Attack Podcast.
Thank you. I'll recycle this joke because we didn't hear it the first time. It was a trip of about 11,000 miles, or as I put it in footy terms, 17.7 million meters gained.
Yes, and Geelong didn't have too many meters gained on the weekend. And I did use this gag earlier, and I likened it on the way in. I walk in here around the waterfront, just to sort of clear my head, which doesn't take long, and because there's not a whole lot in there. But I was thinking it was like a marriage. Now, you said you only saw the first half.
I did, because I had to actually get to sleep so I could get ready and fly here.
Right, right. So you saw the first half. You saw the best half. Mm-hmm. But it was like a marriage, that game, because you got in early. There was real love in the air early. Mm-hmm. There was Hush Mukundi aplenty, I reckon, if you were that way inclined. You maybe even at halftime, Hush Mukundi, had Cats were going that well. Mm-hmm. You thought they had control of it. But halfway through, late in the third, you're thinking, this is just getting a little bit sticky.
25-minute mark it took.
Fracturing. The relationship was fracturing, Tom. And by the middle of the last quarter, the knives were out in
Divorce.
The kitchen. And it was the papers were being issued. The printer was going bananas. And the Cats, unfortunately, fell into an abyss and somehow got beaten. They lost three players. Three players ended up in hospital. And I think, Kingy, we'll be able to debate for the remainder of this podcast, what the hell is going to happen for the remaining six games?
Yeah, I know. Should we ask Bill a bit about his footy
background? We will.
Do you want to do that now? Do you want to talk?
I was thinking with the injuries and stuff like that happened this week. GMHBA Stadium ought to be GMHBA Satellite Facility.
Yeah. It's like the set of MASH there. It was on Saturday. But so, how did you get up? How did you end up following the Cats?
Actually, I started watching footy back in the early 1980s. I was a teenager. I was taking TV courses, so I was watching a lot of, at the time, nascent cable stations, the stations that were just starting. One of them was ESPN, and they didn't have a lot to run at the time, so they were running Australian rules football left and right.
Not live. Replays.
No, definitely replays, yeah. But it seemed like every time I turned around, they had a Geelong game on, so it was just kind of that familiarity.
So this thing. In what years would this have been? I'm trying to think. Where
81,
Geelong.
82, so
Geelong were okay?
Yeah. 81 they were, maybe
yeah.
Prelim.
Yeah, I was thinking like past Sam Newman, but before Gary Ablett Sr.
Right. So what drew you to, obviously the Cats seeing them, but what drew you to the game?
There was a moment where, and this actually, I mentioned we did the team, the Boston Demons, the footy club in Boston. We actually got a feature on a local TV station, and they asked me about it. And it's like the first time I ever saw someone take an aerial mark on someone else's shoulders. I'm like, oh man, that's something you don't see every day, and that just totally caught my attention. And from there, I just loved the flow of the game and just the ramshackle quality of just chaos and going out for it. It was really something that you didn't see in a lot of our American sports, because a lot of our American sports, at least nowadays, it's so scripted. And I don't mean the outcomes, but like the Super Bowl, it's always such this giant production, and just everything just seems not so much about the game. And one of the things I loved about the Oz rules football is it was all about the game.
So the Boston Demons, are you involved with that team?
I am actually.
I'm tipping you're not running off half back.
No. Not me, no.
So no. Are you involved?
Yes, I am. I've actually, on my show Stateside Footy, I've been televising their games for the last 16 seasons.
Right. And is the team predominantly filled with expats or with locals?
It's usually half and half.
Right. Okay.
Which is a good mix, which is usually what the USAFL teams are.
And is it coached by somebody, an Aussie, or is it coached by an American?
It depends on the year.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right now, I believe it's Ken McCarthy, who's also president of the club, who is an Aussie.
Right. And how many teams are in the competition?
The USAFL has actually the biggest amateur Aussie rules competition in the world. They've right. got, I think, 50 clubs now.
Right.
Wow. And,
right across the country.
And how many? Is there only one in Boston?
There's the Boston Demons, who I've been working with right along. But then in 2019, we also had the Maine Cats come up.
Right. And is Maine, is that an area, obviously?
Yeah, Maine is, it's a state, you've got Massachusetts with Boston, then New Hampshire, and above that is Maine.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and they play in Portland.
So is that like Carlton and Collingwood when they play? Just like the big rivalry?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it just punch-ons galore?
Put it this way, Benny. You
can't. Well, not so much, because sometimes not enough people show up, so sometimes you have players changing jumpers.
Right.
Sometimes you have players changing jumpers in the middle of a match.
Right. Okay.
Which obviously makes things really easy for the commentary side.
You can't go any further northeast than Bangor, Maine.
Right.
In the US.
Actually, Lubeck, Maine. That's
Lubeck, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. But Bangor, Maine's the one, King of the Road, it's quoted in.
Mm-hmm.
And the great interview with Magic Johnson. Mm-hmm. There's a great interview where they talk about all the way to Bangor, Maine.
It's Magic Johnson. He was just happy they said Bangor. But anyway.
Well.
Bangor? It could have been halftime of that game last Saturday.
Yeah. Right. So the reason you're here, though, there's as much as you are just savoring every moment of being
absolutely.
Down under. Mm-hmm. There's a tinge of sadness to why you're here.
Oh, there's a definite tinge of sadness. For 16 years, basically, my wife, Stacy, has been by my side helping me do stateside footy. She'll run camera. She'll help with logistics. When we did a nationals tournament, she and I would swap driving. We'd go out together. She got ill and passed away this past January.
Right.
And the team did two things. The first thing they did was, you talked about the rivalry between Boston and Maine. They started a thing this year where they call it the Daisy Cup. In honor of Stacy, because Daisy was her favorite flower. It was her nickname. It's the name of one of our cats. It was her license plate. So they're basically doing an annual competition in her honor, and they're competing for the Daisy Cup, which is a trophy they did a beautiful job on.
Right. Fantastic.
So, yeah. And they also, actually, between the Boston Demons and the Maine Cats, they took up a collection to send me here. Because this is, as far as my bucket list went for most of my life, basically, the two top things were footy. One was to be at the mic when the Boston Demons won a national title, which happened in 2022.
Nice.
And then to be here. So this is like the top item on my bucket
tell
list.
Tell me, Bill, tell me this. Please tell me this.
Yeah.
The Kingy's got you into the box for a Thursday night.
I haven't been able to swindle that yet.
Surely.
I'm going to be there.
I reckon you'll be at it. I've got a pass that will get in.
I'm sure we can make something
happen. We'll make something happen there.
Well, it's funny because a few of the Demons players, in addition to making up the collection to send me here, they've also been in touch with the Geelong front office.
Right.
So Wednesday, I'm going to be at the captain's run. I'm going to be at the president's reception on Thursday, plus be at the game. I'm going to be part of the guard of honor when they run out on the MCG against Melbourne on the 24th.
Right.
Yep.
Are you staying in Geelong?
I'm staying in Geelong right now.
Right.
And then I'm going up to Melbourne on Friday.
Okay. So you're being well looked after. You're going to get
Oh, yeah.
You'll be running out with the team at some point, I would have thought, judging by the – who's your favourite cat?
My favourite cat right now, I would have to say it's got to be Jeremy Cameron.
Right. Well, he won't be out for a bit, unfortunately.
Yes, yes.
Did you hear his interview?
Danger's up there, too. Well, the thing about Jeremy Cameron was when GWS first came into the league, and he had come up at the time, I just remember, you know, just watching him play, and Jeremy Cameron became my favorite non-cat player in the AFL. So when I found out he was coming here, I totally lost it. I'm like, yeah!
Absolutely. I think he kicked 60-odd goals in his second season, didn't he?
Well, it was all Australian.
He was like a 19-year-old, which was quite extraordinary.
Yeah, it was.
Did you hear his interview with the reporter as
Channel
he was
9?
Walking out of the hospital?
No.
So he
No, it was the airport when he landed.
Was it the airport?
He landed back at Avalon.
So the reporter did, you know, he's obviously sent out by his producer, you need to talk to Jeremy Cameron. So he's walking out and he's got the microphone and he said something to the effect of, you know, how is it and how long do you think you'd be out for? And Jeremy Cameron said, well, I'll probably struggle to get up this week off a 5-day break with two bad arms.
Yeah.
So he's going to be out for, I think, probably the rest of the year, Kingy, do you think?
We'll find out a little bit more tomorrow. I think meeting with the surgeon today, so the Cats will put something out. Scott faces the media tomorrow morning.
Oh, that'll be enlightening. Another word salad. What about Tanner Bruin and Jack Henry?
No, that's same. We still haven't.
We have no idea.
No.
Do we have any idea what happened to Tanner Bruin?
No. He had a neck brace on in hospital.
Oh, geez.
So
he got tackled. Bill, you wouldn't have seen it because you were probably having a whiskey or something at 33,000 feet, but he got tackled and it didn't look to be look reasonably innocuous.
His head didn't hit the ground.
No, his head didn't hit the ground, and then he looked like he was winded, got to his feet, next thing you know he's off, the next thing you know he's ruled out instantly, and then he was in hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed to sort of spiral quite quickly from what was an innocuous tackle. Usually you can see when, if somebody ends up in hospital, you have a fair idea why they're in hospital. Whereas this was like, yeah, there was nothing. And Jack Henry was even more mysterious.
Well.
Yeah, he had a throat issue.
Yep.
And he was out early in the game. Yeah. Can we, Kingy? Now, Bill, are you able to be critical of the team that you support, or do you just see everything through the rose-colored glasses?
No, I grew up a Boston sports fan.
Right.
You know, Boston sports fans have been known as "quote unquote" Fellowship of the Miserable.
Right. So the Red Sox
lose their first two games of the season. Fire the manager. It's all over.
Yeah.
Bruins.
Yeah. Yep.
Celtics.
Yeah.
Patriots.
Yep.
Right. So you had a good run there with old TB.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What about my man, JB, Joey Burrow?
Yeah.
Look out.
What's Joey doing?
This year, we are on fire.
Bengals?
Yes. Yeah. We've got Dangerfield in. We've got Jeremy Cameron in. We've got Toby Green in.
But what Dangerfield have you got? You got 10 years ago Dangerfield or now Dangerfield?
No, we've got a in his prime Dangerfield.
Right.
We got an in his prime Jeremy Cameron. And we've already got one side of the ball sorted, and we've got the other side of the ball sorted. We are going to be a force this year. I know the national media in America pay absolutely no attention to the Bengals because they're the smallest market team, along with Buffalo. They have no idea what goes on. Those bozos like Stephen A. Smith, that idiot on Nick Wright, he just spews absolute garbage about the Bengals. No idea we are going to be. You mark my words, I reckon we'll be at least in the divisional round.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, actually, the Bills do get a certain amount of media coverage.
Because Josh Allen.
Yeah, and because they usually cock it and up right after after the playoffs.
They've been good. The Bengals get numb because, I mean, other than Burrow, Chase, and T. Higgins. Yeah. But anyway, we've recruited. Savvy recruiting is how I describe it.
Want to talk about the Cats?
Yeah, well, what are we going to talk about?
Well, Bengals are Cats.
Yeah, yes, they are.
Good point.
What are we going to... Just ironically, when you said that you first saw footy... AFL footy back in the 80s and the Cats were on, that's exactly the same way I got to support the Bengals, because back in the 80s, they used to play one game, replay one game here on a Tuesday night at about 11 o'clock at night. Yep. A guy called Don Lane, who was an American, who came out here and who was an entertainer, set his life up here and was very well known in the entertainment business in Australia. He used to host it and he'd come on and he'd say, this game. And you'd probably remember, back in the late 80s, we had Boomer Esiason.
Yeah, I was going to ask which quarterback. Was it Kenny Anderson or Boomer Esiason?
Boomer Esiason, Chris Collinsworth, Isaac Curtis, Icky Woods, James Brooks, Tim Crumroy. We had an absolute... And they made the Super Bowl in 88 and then... was it 89? Anyway, they were on. So they used to get a lot of airplay, even though they were the smallest market team in the competition.
Right.
And that's how I followed the Bengals, because they were the first team I saw. And I liked Boomer Esiason because he was a left-handed quarterback.
Yeah, Esiason was definitely the marquee star.
Yeah.
Good-looking blonde guy. I mean, obviously, he's made a lot in his TV career, too. So
absolutely. And the irony there is a lot of the Bengals players, like some Geelong players, have made it big in the media. Chris Collinsworth. He owns Pro Football Focus, which is based in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And he was a superstar. And Boomer, obviously, is on the TV as well.
Right.
Thought it was interesting.
It's funny because for the longest time, Chris Collinsworth was like critical of the Patriots, and all of a sudden, for some reason, became a Brady lover.
It's hard not to when you win six.
Oh, I know. Balls. Yeah.
Anyway, we have to talk about the Cats now, King. I'd rather talk about the Bengals, to be honest with you. But look, I don't know where the Cats go from here, Kingy.
Is it salvageable?
Well,
because they actually could win out from here.
Yeah,
so
they've got depth.
Yeah,
their VFL is basically untouchable.
You keep they've an got, eye on the VFL, Bill.
A little bit. In fact, I'm going to be there on Saturday.
Yep.
So they're on top, Bill. Yep. They've only lost one game, haven't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So they've only lost one game. They have no injuries, the Cats. They have three now, but they're the only injuries that they have, other than three kids who wouldn't be picked.
Conway.
Well, Conway's not a kid, but he's Loch Ness Conway, we call him, because he no one's ever seen him. So but he's not in the mix this year. So they have no injuries. They've got depth. Well, hopefully we'll see Brian Myers. I mean, the fact that Zach Tuohy, who joins us each and every week on K-Rock Footy, he sat over here.
So about that thing in the booth?
Yes.
He what?
No, you were saying Zach Tuohy is like, so about that thing in the booth that he asked you about?
We asked him on Saturday about Grime Eyes, and usually Zach still has, a close connection to a number of the players.
Mm-hmm.
He loves the coaching staff, so he isn't going to be critical of the club without, you know,
due course.
A good reason to be doing so. Now, he wasn't critical. He just said, I have absolutely no idea why Guy Myers isn't playing in the seniors and scratching his head, which is good enough to say, I have no idea what they're doing. Now, does he come back this week? You'd think, Warple, does he get a crack? Hope so. How did Warple go on the twos?
Didn't have it as much as he had in previous weeks. Not sure whether he's one they'd look at. Definitely Myers.
Surely.
I think Myers and Polkinghorne will get.
I don't need. We don't need. Cameron goes out. Okay, that's a big loss. We don't need Cameron. We don't need to replace with a forward.
You don't need Polkinghorne?
No. What are you going to bring him in for?
Would you bring Mellor in as a small forward?
No.
No?
A kid.
So you just bring Myers in?
I'd be bringing. Well, if we're saying those three players aren't playing, yep. You'd have to think Bruin, or Cameron's definitely out, but you'd have to think Bruin and Jack Henry aren't playing.
No.
If let's take that as a given. You would have thought off a 5-day break, if two of them are in hospital, they're playing. Although, funny things have happened, but if Jack Henry and they don't play, Tanner Bruin comes out, Myers comes in, Henry's out, don't replace him with a forward, replace him with another midfielder. A midfield gets swallowed up by better midfields. We don't have the depth. And, I mean, they had Tanner Bruin playing in the midfield on the weekend for the first time since Jesus missed a couple of weeks with a hamstring injury back in the 2000 BCs. But you've got Neil, you've got Dangerfield. I'd be happy to remove Jack Martin. I have no idea what Jack Martin's offering.
Warple 33. 33, right, so 7 tackles, 12 clearances.
So you're going on the pothole theory of not playing very well.
No, I wasn't.
We came here on Saturday, and I said, how's Myers going? And Pothole said, well, he's going shit. And then and Zach Toohey said, well, he's had 23 and kicked 2. And then I looked up, and about 30 seconds later, he kicked a goal from 50. So I thought, there can't be too much wrong with his knee.
So Warple's had 33, 7 tackles, 12 clearances. George Stevens, 26 disposals, 6 clearances. Myers, 24 disposals, 10 tackles, and 3 goals.
Well, you were talking about the middle before. What about the ruck situation?
Well, if you had your time again, and it's not an exact science picking teams, sporting teams at an elite level, but they soiled the sheets there, I think, not playing Mitch Edwards. Mm-hmm. Briggs dominated, 51 hit-outs, 15 to advantage. The longer the game got, the better he got. And my criticism is that, okay, Mitch Edwards is a young player, so... Did he need to have a rest?
Well, they only had a bye. They only had a bye 2 weeks ago.
He possibly,
and they're coming off a 9-day break. Yeah. So they've obviously seen something in his game that they didn't like.
Well, they didn't think perhaps it was a good matchup for Briggs. But my point with all this, and you know that I'm playing blokes out of position, just starting to really infuriate me. But we get to the last quarter of a game where the third quarter, everything was going well for 2 3/4 quarters. The last 10 minutes of the third quarter, it was starting to go a little bit pear-shaped, and they kicked a couple of goals, got it back to 27 points, I think, at three-quarter time. So we've got a couple of injuries. Cameron was into the game at that point, but we had 2 other injuries, and they were obviously out of the game. So we were down to 3 on the bench for the last quarter. So the first 10 minutes of the last quarter was going to be the most critical of the game.
Right.
If we were able to hold up for the first 10 minutes of the last quarter...
Mm-hmm.
Were a good chance of maybe just stifling their momentum and winning.
Right.
Well, the first 10 minutes of the last quarter was absolutely shy. Well,
they kicked a goal within the first minute, didn't they?
They did. So we had, did you know who we had in the ruck? Shannon Neal, who's not even our first, he's our fourth choice ruckman. He's in the ruck. You've got De Koning, who's the first choice ruckman. He's not even on the ground, I don't think. Blitzarves, who couldn't get a kick in bed at the moment, Blitzarves. He's not in the ruck. And you've got Shannon Neal in the ruck. You've got Cameron in defence. And then you've got Patrick Dangerfield playing full forward. Like, what is going on?
As Astro would say back in the old Jetsons TV show, rut the ruck.
Yeah, rut the ruck's right. Like, just mix those up a little bit. But I was like, what the hell? I reckon Shannon Neal spent the first 10 minutes of the fourth quarter in the ruck. Now, I don't mind Shannon Neal having a little kick in the ruck because I think he's physical, he's athletic. But not when the game's on the line. Not you're getting your fourth choice ruckman in to try. And when the game is absolutely on the line, I just could not understand that. Hindsight's a great thing. Edwards probably should have played. He didn't. But why would you not have De Koning or Blitzarves in the ruck start the last quarter?
There's one thing while I was watching that seemed to be maybe an omen of what was going on. And the Cats had just kicked the goal. Ball goes back to center. And literally, the Brisbane ruck gets it. And then just...
GWS.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. GWS.
Yeah. And that happens in the game.
That's like, right. I still have my mind on the Essendon game. Yes. So GWS, the ruck gets it, and literally just, boom, into 50, boom, he kicks it.
Briggs.
Like, within like 20 seconds.
Yeah, Briggs dominated. He's a big man. I just wonder, Jack Henry, before he got, whatever happened to him, we have no idea what happened to something to his throat. He was absolutely a non-factor. Yeah. Why are they continuing to play him up forward? He had one kick.
Were they thinking?
One kick.
Yeah. Because he wasn't even playing on Taylor, was he? To do like what?
Taylor was dominating.
Yeah, that's
Taylor
what I mean.
Was absolutely pulling Neil's pants down, which is perhaps why they moved Neil away from Taylor. Mm. But why put him in the ruck? Makes no sense. Right. Just getting too smart by half the Cats coaching staff. And I don't know. It's, you know, and the other thing too is, and I was thinking about this, and you couldn't really say it, but I'm going to say it, is that all this switching around has cost Jeremy Cameron the rest of the season. He's not attacking the footy like that playing up forward. Mm-hmm. Moving him into defence has cost him.
But did they have
to? And I'm not saying you can get injured in footy in any old way. Yeah. I understand that. But he isn't attacking a football like he was up forward as he was as a defender.
Well, sometimes I see this trend, and sometimes I don't see it, and sometimes I do, and it concerns me when I do, is the footy is on the ground. And so one of the players runs up to it and just kind of stops and doesn't go in after it.
Because he's too frightened in case they give away a free kick.
Exactly. Well, Cameron, what happens is it gets knocked on or gets put away, and all of a sudden it's going the other way.
Well, Cameron had a crack. He was having a fair dinkum crack, but I don't think I've ever seen him attack a footy like that as a forward.
Yeah.
You're attacking the ball in a different fashion than you are as a defender.
But you remember, like, in the 2022 Grand Final, when it came to, like, any time the footy was on the ground, Dangerfield was an absolute beast. He would just dive in there, knock it on, get it out, just get it to somebody.
That's his go.
But I'm saying that's the kind of football you need to see there.
Well, and Cameron was trying to do that. I'm not suggesting that he wasn't, but
it wasn't Cameron that I said. I was one of the.
It's ended up costing him his injury because he's had to attack the footy in a different manner than he's accustomed to, and he's gone for the year.
But if Geelong win and he doesn't get injured, we're all saying, gee, what a.
I understand,
and it kickstarts.
I understand all that, and he could get injured up forward, you know, going for a mark. Someone cannons in. I don't get that. I get all that, but I'm just saying. I don't think. Do you think that he would be attacking a footy like that as a forward, way he did?
No,
you have to attack the ball in a different fashion as a defender. Yeah, game was on the line. He knew that, you know. So we can go on and on, but I just, you know, I've just got too many holes now in the side. The kicking, the connection again. What was the inside 50 count, Kingy? We won that again, didn't we? Mm. I think we were +3.
Yeah, that sounds about right. You're the guru with the numbers.
60? We hit 60 again.
Hit 60 again, yep.
We've hit 60 again and lost.
Yep.
2 weeks in a row, we've had 129 inside 50s in two games.
And lost both. By combined 35 points.
What's that telling you?
Oh, the delivery inside 450 is atrocious.
Terrific.
Yeah.
It's kick and hope.
Yep.
Kick and hope is not a plan.
No.
Hope is not a plan.
No.
Yeah, one of the other sports I love to watch is hockey. And I liken what I saw with just kicking the ball and just kicking hope. It's like when the hockey teams do the dump and chase.
Yeah.
Instead of like getting a good pass play and actually moving the puck over the blue line, they just dump it in there and hope someone goes in there and gets it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Geelong are doing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. There's a correlation between
the two.
They've
been watching too much ice hockey, I think,
the
Cats.
There you go.
It's staggering that, particularly against a GWS team that is struggling, and they've got a number of injuries, the GWS. They didn't have anywhere near their best team playing.
I hate to think what the Giants would have done to Geelong if they had fielded. So they were probably lacking seven of their best 23.
The thing about it, Kingy, does this come down to coaching? Because we've been saying it pretty much since the Carlton game.
They were +7 in the
50s. How many did they have?
Yeah,
60 to 53.
60 to 53, yeah. So they had 69 the week before against the Lions.
Geelong's disposal efficiency was actually better than the Giants.
Yeah, but that can be absolutely misleading because that
but
part of that comprising that is just kicking around the back half.
Efficiency inside 50. Yeah. The Giants, 58.5. Want to have a guess what Geelong's was?
33. Yeah. So
33.3.
The thing about that is that's been a trend now since Carlton, hasn't it?
Yep.
That's not something that's happened
that
in 2 weeks.
That one loss has changed everything.
Yeah. Well, that's when they started trying to have Jack Henry up forward for no apparent reason other than they thought he was a forward. But this is a trend now over six weeks from the Carlton game, is it? Six weeks.
They're 1-5, yeah.
Yeah. So you would have thought at the elite level like that, you as a coaching staff, you can change things around. The players are made aware of that, seeing highlighter, kicking it long, and then the ball hitting the ground and then getting swept the other way.
Right.
Surely you would have thought that is then in forefront of the players' minds. And then also the forwards. I'm not blaming all this on the midfield.
Yep.
I think part of it is the forward line, the way it works. Because if you're rushing the ball forward and you've got clear space and it's a free hit, so to speak, and you're not under pressure, if you don't have someone leading towards you, you've really got no option but to kick it long. So how often do you see Geelong out of the middle, bang, free play, hit someone up on the lead? It only happened when you only really notice it when it happens because you think, shit, I haven't seen that happen for three quarters. Why hasn't that happened? The only time I can remember, so obviously other times, but against Brisbane, Atkins got one out of the middle, Dangerfield led up, he kicked it to him, and I think Dangerfield...
Well, it seems to be Dangerfield is the one that has been there.
So where's Neil? Where's Ollie Henry? Where's Jack Martin? Jack Martin's got to go. He's just got to go. He's just not impacting the game. He's slow. He goes to ground. He's a one-trick pony, absolute one-trick pony. The ball hits the deck, he's gone. The coaching staff love him. They're picking names. It's got to be a better... I'd rather Polkinghorne in than Jack Martin. Mm. Ollie Henry played well on the weekend.
Yep.
He was just the previous 2 weeks. Okay.
You can't question Ollie Henry's effort.
Ollie Henry has more athleticism. He's, 8 years younger than Jack Martin.
Yep.
He has an ability to get up the ground. He can do some things that Jack Martin used to be able to do that he can't do now. So he's a better bet than Martin. He's probably kicked three or four more goals this year than Martin. And I thought he played pretty well. I think Jack Martin now has had 4 weeks where he's been in witness protection. And you've got to get him, don't bring him up into the dock anymore.
Martin had 19 before the weekend. Ollie Henry had 25.
Right. Martin just bobs up. The thing about Martin, what catches your eye is what he does do catches your eye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you think, oh, how good's that? But then
Yeah, because he did a couple of nice things where you go, he does some stuff that others can't do, but he doesn't do it regularly enough.
Yeah, he can have 2.5 quarters where he doesn't touch the ball.
Yeah.
And he's not around the ball. And that's when he goes up the ground to try and get a kick, you have your head in your hands because he doesn't have the pace. So he was a top draft pick, obviously, back in the day. Jack Martin of the Gold Coast Suns, and then he's had a lot of injury problems, and his injury problems Geelong seem to have been able to get on top of those. He's been available but virtually every week, but I think they've got to make a call there. And having Henry alongside, we've spoken about that ad nauseum, I don't know anybody. You know when you talk to people in the street or friends about footy and you say, what about this? When you get a 50-50 split, you think, oh, yeah, okay. I don't know one person that I've spoken to, who follows the Cats, who thinks Jack Henry playing forward is a good idea. There's not one. Now, we're not with the players every day. We're not in the old inner sanctum, Bill, the four walls, we call it over here, which is the greatest wanky term of all time. But we call it the four walls. So we're not in all that. But nobody I know who just follows footy, reasonably sensible people who haven't had frontal lobotomies recently, mm-hmm. all say, I can't offer you one reason why Jack Henry's playing forward. If you've got no key marking forwards or you've got no mid-size marking forwards, yep. If you want to do it for 5-10 minutes to try and create a mismatch or get something out of Jack Henry if he's struggling down back or whatever, yes. If you think you're going to play him permanently forward week after week mm-hmm. in a team that already has five blokes who mark it,
mm-hmm.
what the hell? Come on, yeah. Bill. I think you should be, when you go down in that guard of honour,
yep.
if Jack Henry's playing this week, just maybe just give him a bit of
No.
Give
no.
him a leg whip.
No. You're better than that.
What?
No. To do the Chico Escuela Saturday Night Live thing, Geelong has been very, very good to me.
They have, yeah.
Yes.
Well, so is Jack Henry, but he's playing up the wrong end.
All right. Yeah.
And what do you think of the coach? Do you like the coach?
Yeah.
Do you listen to his press conferences?
Sometimes, yes.
Do you like his word salads? He has an ability. It's like a bit like trying to think of an NFL player, NFL coach who loves his word salads. What about just talking about word salads? Not about salad, but what about the coach of the Patriots? He's had a bit of salad.
No, hang on, no, we're not.
Oh, no. Diana Rossini,
word salad or tossed salad? But anyway,
no, we're not.
I love it, Bill. Tossed salad. That's fantastic.
Right? Questions?
Is he still a coach?
Sorry, Kingy.
Is he still the coach?
Yes, he is.
How can you've
got a like-minded individual over here, Benny.
I love that. Reminds me of a website.
Anyway, Andrew Daly, I have to keep reminding myself how good
are
the
these
last
questions, Kingy?
Yes.
Right.
Last 20 years have been, maybe Scott needs to dig the old playbook out like the trash Vinny did in Police Academy 2 with the Crunch Bar and tried to share it with Mahoney. Maybe he'll find Warple, Myers and Buse magnets also. I don't think Jed Buse is in their plans. No. Warple and Myers are. Mark O'Connor's the other one that comes back this week.
But Warple and Myers weren't even emergencies on Saturday.
No, Nevitt, Edwards and Clark were. What do you think of Nevitt's game?
Well, unfortunately, he didn't really take his chance.
No.
He just, I mean,
opportunity to kick a couple of goals.
There's a lot of nearly moments.
Yep.
It just didn't make good on them. No knock on him. He's a young bloke. And when you're in his position, you're probably trying too hard.
Yep.
You know, you get that one chance and you've busted your boiler in the twos and for weeks on end, and then you get an opportunity and then you try too hard. You know, and that comes without the, you know, that comes because you don't have any certainty beyond that game. You know, you don't know that you're going to get a game the following week. You think you have to star. Now, yeah, did he star? No. Did he play well? No. Was he horrendous? No, he was okay. Mm. Do they keep going with him? I mean, there's not a person in Geelong who thinks that Brian Myers wouldn't be going in ahead of Mitch Nevitt.
Peter Van Norden, who was the actor who played Vinny.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, he passed
away.
He's
brown bread.
Yep, so Andrew Daly just said black armbands this week, boys. The Rendered Cat. Haven't heard from the Rendered Cat before. Hi, gents. Walls are closing in fast. A lot to like for three quarters and it all fell apart. Concerning for me is that we seem to have poor execution by foot, late and skill, and it kills us the other way. Forward line with another 60 entries, yet donuts from Neil Martin. Danger. Brutal.
Yeah. Well, you can't argue with any of that, can you?
No.
Like, it's pretty plain, as plain as the nose on your old bonce, but I don't know, it's getting frustrating, Kingy. Who we got this St Kilda on Thursday night?
Marky Mark, Casanilli's number one season ticket holder. Okay, so we won't win this year. What team recovers from a grand final thumping and gets up the year after?
Yeah.
Well, you've got to go back to the 1980s for that.
Is it every team struggled, have they?
A lot of teams who have been.
Did Sydney get back to the grand final?
They got back because they lost to the Cats in 2022, and then they got back. I think it was against Brisbane.
They didn't win it.
They got wiped out again.
They got back to the grand final.
They got back to the grand final. Then they got
so that's,
butt,
that's
you know.
Getting that's
no 20 no 24.
So 2 years later.
Yeah,
23.
Later
what did they
back.
Do in 23?
Yeah,
23 was at the Lions in the Collingwood. Yeah.
Collingwood. Yeah.
So it was Sydney in 24.
Two and 24.
Yeah.
Yeah. And once again, you know, you thought, you know, it's like, okay, this couldn't be as bad as that what happened in 2022. But once again, they just get absolutely destroyed.
Yeah, they did.
By gets up, I mean wins it the next year is what I interpreted that.
Yeah.
That's rare.
Geelong aren't winning it this year.
Dave Twist, if a 48-year-old with no AFL coaching experience can see our forward structures killing us, why can't the blokes in the box? Winning inside 50s but failing to score has been the same issue for weeks. Is it personnel, stubbornness, coaching, or all three? Something has to change.
What are you thinking?
Mm.
You give us your expert opinion.
Is it stubbornness?
Partly, I think. The coach has this humongous stubborn streak.
Yeah.
I know better. And people get critical of his move, so he just doubles down on it and keeps doing it. Jack Henry is Exhibit A.
I mean, just looking at the scoreline from this game, you know, actually not that, but as far as the, the scoreline as far as the kicks, and once again, when I do my show stateside footy, I have a saying. I call it the first rule of footy, and it's you kick too many behinds, you get your behind kicked.
Yeah, bad kicking is bad football.
Yeah, and
that
like
old one.
Looking back like to the Brisbane game. I mean, you know, as far as scoring shots, you know, Geelong, you know, they weren't off the pace. You know, they had a bunch of scoring shots, but once again, the Lions were a little straighter. They kicked 19-9. The Cats kicked 14-17.
Yeah, four or five of those were right. We have discussed this. Four or five were rushed behinds. So,
but that's
it ended up being.
But that's 12 points. Yeah, that's still 60 points you're leaving on the table.
Yeah, no, bad kicking's bad footy. That game there, that Geelong Brisbane game. Geelong were plus 17 and inside 50s, and they had I think it was about four or five more. Genuine scoring shots. There were a few rushed there, but that getting the footy and getting it inside forward 50 isn't the problem. But that that hasn't been the problem for the last 6 weeks. We have seem to have no mechanism to actually fix that problem or even partially fix that problem. It's just get it and kick it long. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I mean, Manor played lights out on the weekend. He was fantastic. You know, they had some good players. I mean, Cameron was playing okay. Geez, he missed some targets in the third quarter before he got injured, didn't he? He had four kicks, I reckon, that went straight to the opposition, which is very unlike him. But Dangerfield struggled.
I still miss the days of the Geelong Highway.
Of the...
Up the middle.
Yeah, just going right up the corridor.
Yeah, I mean, teams are smart enough to work that out and stop that now. So, you know, you've got to find other ways. But it's the thing that sort of gives you some comfort is that Geelong are getting the footy enough to be winning games. What they're doing with it is costing them games. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't got the footy, you know, it's like, not like you're watching games and seeing Geelong get, you know, there's some games you think, you know, well, we just got beaten by a better team. It wouldn't have really mattered what we did. We got beaten by a better team. Yeah. You're not saying that with the Cats.
No.
They're in every game they play, but they're just their execution in combination with players struggling out of position. It's killing them at the moment.
Trevor Young, one simple question. Will the Cats lose to St Kilda this week because of decisions made at the selection table?
No, the way things are going, the decisions made at the selection table won't help them. But I reckon the Cats will beat St Kilda at home.
Yep.
I have this, if you can, I think in footy, you know, we as fans see, oh, geez, don't you, Jeremy Cameron's out. Oh, shit, we couldn't possibly win this game without Jeremy Cameron. The players don't think like that. It creates another opportunity for someone. It puts more responsibility on Ollie Henry. Does it create more room for Shannon Neal? Is Dangerfield more effective with more room? You know, if they keep playing Jack Martin, can he actually do something, anything? Just do something, please. Get a kick if you can. Like, it creates, and then it creates a little bit of more unpredictability around where the ball might go. Now, over a long period of time, that's going to hurt you, not having Cameron. But over a short period of time, it can actually, if you're smart enough, it can actually work to your advantage because it makes you more unpredictable. And Geelong have got good, I mean, you're dropping out, if you lose Cameron, Bruin and Jack Henry,
yep.
And then you replace them with Grian Myers, who's a premiership player, I'm only guessing who might come in, but, you know, O'Connor, who's playing good footy prior,
Warple.
And Warple, who's the best and fairest at another club, and has got 150 games on the board. You're not replacing them with three 18-year-olds.
Right.
You're replacing them with some battle-hardened senior footballers.
Right.
Yeah, and they've still got a good defence. They bring in Edwards, possibly. You would have thought play Marshall and DeConing, or is DeConing...
No, DeConing's still out.
He's out. Is he definitely going to be out?
Yeah.
Right. So that might bring in Edwards, though, to have a crack at Marshall. So I reckon they'll beat St Kilda down here. And they could... I'm not saying they couldn't win out the Cats, even without Cameron.
No,
they
could. But they're not, and they'd still finish 15.
Because the teams that they're playing aren't, well, up bar Melbourne.
No.
Melbourne are probably the one that are very good. But you wouldn't say Melbourne might have a bad day. They're not a seasoned, battle-hardened team. They're quite young still. Yeah. The other game, Geelong could win. So I still feel like the Cats could win out. But then you get to finals and it'd be a different kettle of fish than beating Essendon, St Kilda, Richmond, North Melbourne. You get to a final and it's up against Brisbane or without Cameron, that's when it becomes a problem.
Is it time for some brown bubbly water and maybe get Stevie Motlop
to
bring the guitar and play some Kumbaya or a Police Academy marathon to bring the boys together from Mick Howley?
Well, I had a brown bubbly. Do you have any of those, Bill? Brown bubbly waters?
No.
You never? You've never had a beer?
Oh, I have, yeah. I just have never heard that term before.
Yeah, the brown bubbly was. I was going to have one yesterday at around about 20 past three.
Sometimes brown bubbly was what happens after I have too many beers.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Jeez. go back to the tossed salad.
No.
I had one.
You're going to be flashing the razor blade so much, Kingy. I'm sorry.
No, not on this.
I had one last yesterday. I was just going to have the one. I had Pivot City, Kingy. I had one at 20 past three, and I was still having them at 11 o'clock.
Yeah. Were you refreshed?
I was refreshing wildly. Just a solo refreshment session.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
There was every... I must have... And then when I went out this morning, I would have been, I reckon, 11 times.
Drink responsibly.
I did, yeah. Right on the couch.
It was like that sitcom in the U.S., Happy Days. We had beer in little teeny glasses. How many little teeny glasses did you have? 72.
Yeah, that was Fonzie, wasn't it?
Richie, actually.
It was Richie. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever, Fonzie could have handled
let's
that.
Let's not talk about Richie. Let's talk about Joni.
Oh, there you go. Well,
love yeah. Chachi.
Yeah.
Chachi used to push McCundy with Joni, didn't he?
Hell of 41. Bale. Yeah. Right, Scotty Bale. Right.
Even good. Mrs. C.
Hell of yep.
Fonzie well, like Mrs. C.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In real life.
Right.
And what about, let's talk about the Brady Bunch. No. We used to go on there.
No.
With Marcia.
Oh, Greg went Carol. On a date with Carol. Yeah.
Carol.
Benny got it spot
and
on.
And the dad.
Shut up.
What was the dad's name? Mike.
Anyway, shut up. Anyway. Benny got it spot on last week on the podcast, but selection was doubled down on us, and it cost us. Martin, 8 possession, 2 from freeze, 3 turnovers, 2 tackles. Cannot tell we close isn't a better option. Cats leadership, who stood up in the last quarter? Bowes exposed, Myers replaces him, surely.
Yep.
If Clarkson, Hardwick, Mitchell coach Cats, would STK be in the ruck? I don't think so.
I can't argue with any of that. I wholeheartedly agree that that is all on the money. I don't know what this fascination is with playing players so far out of position. And I get, you know, I could get the Cameron one on the weekend. He was struggling a little bit. You put him behind the footy I would have had him behind the footy for a half and then maybe tried to switch him forward. You know, they left him, particularly in the third quarter when his kicking went off, he was turning it over. Yeah, I mean, and that's his go. He's a flary type player, Cameron, isn't he? He's not a... You know, he doesn't play the percentages. That's never been his style. He has a crack, and then some of those kicks he was doing out of the back half weren't exactly finding the target. But you can't argue with any of that. And I reckon there is a bit of stubbornness about the coaching. You know what I'd love to do?
What would you love
to do? I would love to have the four coaches sitting around this table and have like the cone of silence come down, get smart style.
Yeah. And, sorry about that, Chief.
And just ask them what... Are they unanimously on board with all the changes in terms of positioning? Are they unanimously on board with Grime Myers playing in the twos? Who do they think should be the preferred ruckman? Who two or three players that they'd love to have out of the team, or who think maybe you know need to be replaced short term just to see what others can offer? I'd love to do that, Kingy. Can you organise it?
I'll try. Polkinghorn debut would be great. Cats seem very flat and would bring excitement. Yeah, but
I don't disagree. I like to see young. I love seeing young players in, even if they struggle. I'm happy that Wilshire got a game. He didn't play very well, but he got another game in the bank. Yeah. It's going to be growing pains with him. He's a speed option. I hope they don't drop him out this week. I hope he gets another crack. But we don't need another marking forward. That is not our problem.
Do the forwards work together or is there a bonus for most goals? Seems like a urinating contest working against each other, not with each other. Example, Ollie Henry spoiled in the goal square by Jack Martin. If that's one that if you look back on and go, Henry marks that, he goes back, kicks the goal, and the margin's even greater.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to actually a tipping point with the margin where they might not come back from. 39 just left the door open.
Wouldn't have thought, and then, shouldn't have, 7 goals.
Then 27.
They'd only kicked
they kicked their fourth goal at the 25-minute mark.
Yeah, so they were 39 points beyond, they kicked 3 goals.
Yep.
Well, you know what was the funny thing is, I was watching the first half of the game, one of the commentators was like, well, you know, the Giants are down, but remember, they had that incredible comeback, that record-setting comeback a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that was against, they beat Frio the week before.
And Frio had a comeback of their own.
Yeah.
Sydney, I've been maintaining that Sydney aren't good enough.
No.
They're shies in Sydney.
Rinse and repeat with my question. The continual playing of players out of form, playing injured players. It said paying injured players. No, you've got to pay them. Playing injured players, Atkins and Cameron, which he will now finally get a rest. Players playing out of their positions. This is the same Chris Scott coaching between 2014 to 2019 all over it. I'm coming down to the game with a mate travelling 3.5 hours. Is it worth me coming down? As Benny says, I may have to get very refreshed.
Yeah, well, that never...
I travelled 10,000 miles for this game.
Yeah. Yes. Bill, you've done the hard yards. Yeah. I'm bullish about the Cats beating St Kilda. I am bullish. As long as we play Mullen on Wanganeen Miller, I think that's got to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a little bit of the game St Kilda Port Adelaide. Was that yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday.
Which game?
Port Adelaide St Kilda. That was when I started to refresh. Was that yesterday?
No, that was Saturday.
Oh, night. Saturday was it? No, it was a Saturday night. Oh, no, it was Essendon. It was Essendon.
Sorry, Saturday Arvo.
Richmond and it was Port Richmond
Adelaide
and Melbourne.
It was Saturday Arvo.
Don't ask me for help. I'm still trying to figure out what time zone.
Yeah, no, it's Richmond.
Yeah, what year in?
That was Richmond and Melbourne yesterday. But I watched a little bit of the St Kilda Port game, and Port Adelaide made the fatal mistake. If you allowed Wanganeen Millera, one of the traits, one of the things they do to get him into the game is have him kick it in. And then run past the bloke he's kick it to, handballs it to him. By the time you've tackled him or got near him, he's out near the 50, and he kicks it past the wing. Like, but that happened about three or four times, and Port Adelaide were asleep at the wheel. So, look, I'm as long as we play Mullen on Wanganeen Millera, I think we've got enough options there to be beating St Kilda.
Lord of Sleepy Hollow, surely we have a tactical parachute to stop this mid-season freefall. What on the earth is the latest tidbit on Tyson Stengel? Kingy, surely you know something.
Yes.
We don't. I don't. And to go supposedly AWOL again is beyond disappointing. Do the Cats try to work out a contract termination or a payout deal to save cap space, or is there a way back?
No.
If we cut ties, who do we target this off-season to replace that X factor, or is there a similar type already plugging away in the VFL? Well, Jesse Mallor's not doing some bad stuff in the VFL. He's not ready now. People have been talking about him, but he's still got some work to do. As much as he's kicked 20-odd goals in the VFL, it would surprise me if he's in the frame for selection, but who knows?
What do you think about Stengel?
Oh, it's...
Do you think that they're getting the contract to work out how to get out of it?
You would hope so.
Yeah. Have you heard any... Is he at the club? Is he training? Is he doing anything that resembles playing football?
I don't know. I legitimately don't know.
The fact that you haven't heard anything suggests he's not there?
No,
would you think that?
Well, potentially, yeah.
Do you think that they've perhaps just put a line through him?
I would have thought.
Altogether?
I don't think altogether, but he's not playing footy this year. He's not playing this year.
If he doesn't play this year, do you think that would be good enough just to say we've got to move on from this? We can't afford to have this circus happen again. I'd say 100%.
Yeah. Oh, do they give him one more preseason to get himself right?
No.
Okay.
Well, unless it's under strict...
Yeah,
the problem is he's so unpredictable that he's the sort of bloke that could do...
Because what you could do is you could list him, and if it goes awry, I'm not sure the ruling, and they cut him, whether they then have an SSP selection.
So they'd have to rework his contract then, wouldn't they?
Oh, of course they would.
It's a disaster. It's disastrous. We need to fish out that audio of me saying it's going to be a disaster.
We need to put up the bat signal in the shape of Eddie Betts.
Well, we don't need Eddie... Well, Eddie Betts...
No, in terms of Eddie... Eddie coming in with
Tyson, because remember the first year, Eddie Betts was on the coaching staff and took a special interest. You know, was a mentor to Stengel, and Stengel he was an All-Australian.
Well, the only and the thing about that, Bill, and even the next year he was quite good as well.
Yeah,
but he had
it was his 2024 year. 2023 got hurt. Remember, he did break the arm.
Right,
2023.
So three good years, but he was playing on a knife's edge there. Mm-hmm. He was playing for something.
Yeah,
right.
And for another contract. And then they gave him 5 years at, I don't know, somewhere between, we're only guessing, somewhere probably about 700.
Yep.
So they've given him 3.5 million. Now, if some of that was front-ended, he had access to money that he could only dream about, and it's gone absolutely pear-shaped for him. And it's been an unmitigated disaster, unfortunately.
So the Lord of Sleepy Hollow, do you think Tyson could pull off the ultimate miracle. Picture this, hosting Scott and Mackie at his abode, cooking them a beautiful three-course dinner to beg for forgiveness and one last chance. Benny, to win over Scotty and Mac, what kind of feed are we talking? A perfectly seared Wagyu paired with a Premier Cru Burgundy, or is he going to have to break out the ultra-premium stuff and a 20-year-old Grange just to get them to the table? Actually, knowing you, Benny, you'd probably tell him just to order a couple of local pub Palmers. They're Palmies! And a six-pack of Carlton Draft and see how it goes.
Yeah, I'd be 100% for option C there.
The Ranger.
Something pan-seared, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It always sounds better when it's pan-seared. Yeah. It's just basically cooked in a fry pan.
Yeah.
But it's pan-seared. Yeah. And then they have red wine.
It's pan-seared. Yeah, like you're going to sear it in the dishwasher.
Yeah, that's right. What else am I going to sear it in? Yeah. So, and it's also, I always have a bit of a chuckle when you go somewhere and the menus are, you know, it's also in this sort of cursive script. It looks like it's Hebrew and you can't read it. And then everything's got a bit of jus on it.
Yeah.
It's gravy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just gravy.
Well, no, you watch the cooking shows and they always say, and then you put this in the au jus. It's, no, you put it in the jus. You don't put this in the with juice. You put it in the juice.
Yeah, no, it's just, oh, I always have a laugh. Some of the ridiculous terms you have that people think are fancy.
The Ranger, what a shitty weekend for the Cats. We sort of expected the loss, however, to be leading, controlling the game, then losing, and the injuries to boot was hard to take. Not sure we can blame the injuries for the loss. What is your take on that? Not already covered. I don't think we can blame the injuries, can we?
On losing?
Yeah.
well, didn't help, but you would have thought a really good team would find a way to win over. And we were caught all over the show in that last quarter, absolutely all over the show. It was some of the numbers, I think, was 20. Do they have like 23 inside 50s? Their midfield, I mean, Oliver had 36 or something. Toby Green had it on a string. Which our midfield is short. But talking about, there was a question there before about who we need to target. If they're moving on from Stengel, which you'd have to think that they are.
Are you happy for Toby Green for 3 years?
Well,
at age 33?
Reg was. I don't think it's, I think it'd be worth a discussion. It'd be worth a discussion about the pros and cons of getting Toby Green. And the fact that you're thinking that, I mean, Toby Green's a, you know, an elite player of the competition. We're talking about a very good player who's captain of a club.
And with the way things are these days, you know, age isn't necessarily the death knell it used to be.
No, it's not.
I mean, look at 2022. The Cats took the flag with the oldest team in history.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. I mean, Toby Green played very well against us on Saturday at his age. But my thought there is that, you know, there's other factors to consider. With that, maybe we could do that another time, Kingy. But you've got Dangerfield at 400 years old already. You've got Jack Martin, who
I think list analysis next week, Ben.
Yeah, Jack Martin, comes out with a Zimmer frame. Like, he can't move. We have enough older players, and you're adding a bloke who then really, at his age, can only probably play up forward. He's limited in the roles at his age. I mean, when he was, I know he spent a little bit of time on the ball yesterday, and you could throw him on the ball for brief stints, but he's predominantly going to be another mid-sized forward for you, which is what we already have. And we already have young blokes like Mellor, like Polkinghorne. What does it do to their development? So there's a whole, it's not just a let's get Toby Green because Toby Green's a good name.
Yeah.
We need it above Toby Green, we need a small forward
who's
quick. And can kick goals. They're not easy to find, but that's what we need. And we need another class midfielder. Yep. We're a class midfielder short. And that's not Toby Green.
I've been saying for the last month or two that I don't think Buckley's a good choice for a defensive coach. His defensive record at Collingwood was poor. After he took over from Malthouse, they went from number one in defence through to somewhere around 14. At that point, they appointed Longmuir to lead their defence and they bounced back to the top. I agree with Benny about the lack of defensive mindset with the likes of Smith and Holmes, but that's where we need someone with a better portfolio of defensive results. I don't think it's a coincidence that our defensive metrics have decreased this year with Buckley in charge. Both percentages for opposition score and opposition goals per inside 50 have risen, and we are near the bottom the ladder in these. Interestingly, in the last few days, I'm noting a lot more comments on unsocial media about Buckley not being the right choice, so maybe I am wrong. If it's on there, it can't be correct.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what did you say up until, 5 minutes to go in the third quarter, they kicked 3 goals.
Yep.
Buckley's only coaching the defence. He's not coaching the midfield or the forwards.
No.
And I think the problem in defence stems from the midfield and the forward line,
correct.
Not the defence.
Correct. Yep.
The defence is actually okay, but when you're getting torched and the ball is humming into your forward line a million miles an hour, you've got no hope as a defender. It doesn't matter who you've got. Geelong, I reckon Geelong's defence is by far its strongest unit.
Yeah.
The forward line it
gets exposed by what happens up the field.
Yeah, it gets exposed by its midfield and its forward line. But they're their strongest unit. If Sam De Koning was playing in defence, it would be even better. But they're set. You've got some good players there. You've got a reasonable mix. You've got Stewart Humphreys as sort of attacking types. You've got Connor O'Sullivan, who's going to be one of the best in the business for a long period of time. I'd love De Koning to be there. Jack Henry's a very good player, but he's not even playing there. Okay, could you get Colajasny out and bring Jack Henry in? I'm happy for that, even though I'm a Colajasny fan. But that's probably writing on the wall there. The problems are in the midfield. We're short. We're not defensive enough. And we're too predictable. And we don't have great skill. Smith and Holmes are great players. They get the ball a lot. They get you a lot of territory. They're not great skilled players. They're not technicians. They don't hit targets regularly. They don't mix the game up. They're very predictable in what they do. And that's not a knock because they're guns, but they're very predictable in the way they deliver the footy. And the forward line at this stage is an absolute dog's breakfast. It's just all over the place.
Cats do it better. We've covered a lot of what Cats do it better is written, but just would like to see some changes from that team into the senior team with the VFL flying. What kind of impact do you think Polkinghorne, Mallor, Mollier could have in our forward line? Well, Mollier is not one that they're looking at the moment.
He's injured, isn't he? Or was.
He fell on what he had been. Yeah, he'd been through a conditioning.
Yeah, he's miles off, though, isn't he? Like, he's a young kid.
Hope we see Warple Myers back in a couple of the above forwards. Talks about the back line, but as we've discussed, we don't think it's a back issue. We think it's an up-the-ground issue.
No, I think it is.
And Cats. Where's the balance between maintaining IP and giving fans real answers? For example, the word vomit they used to explain not playing Myers in the seniors. Members are clearly frustrated. Do they deserve some clarity around these decisions, or should they suck it up and just back the coaches?
Sorry, King. I got waylaid there because something happened at work. Can you repeat that? Can you cut that out and repeat it? Sorry.
Cough.
Yeah, it's perfect timing. We're a well-oiled machine, Bill, aren't we?
Cats. Where's the balance between maintaining IP and giving fans real answers? For example, the word vomit they used to not explain playing Myers in the seniors. Members are clearly frustrated. Do they deserve some clarity around these decisions, or should they suck it up and just back the coaches?
No, well, the clubs aren't going to tell you exactly what they're thinking. And, you know, I mean, and the other thing you've got to remember is that we get on the assistant coach generally before the game, and it may be that that assistant coach actually doesn't agree with that decision. Mm-hmm. Now, he's never going to say that.
Right.
He's got to back in the decision that's been made. If you're all in the one organisation, you've got to back it in, even if you don't agree with it. But sometimes you can glean through the response in terms of how forceful it is, how positive it is. You can glean through that maybe, and you might be seeing things differently or incorrectly, but you might be like, James Riley gave the most wishy-washy answer about Grime Myers being out of the team that I've ever heard. Is he fully on board with Grime Myers being out of the team? Perhaps not.
Yeah. Oh, that's it, Benny. Bill.
Bill, well done, Bill.
Pleasure to have you.
You've been a star. So what are you going to do tonight?
Tonight?
Sexyland's open till 9.
Oh, no. I'm probably going to go home with a six-pack of Coopers and just hang out and enjoy the
Coopers.
Sunset.
Yep. Is that your fizzy drink of choice?
That's one of my fizzy drinks of choice, thanks to the Boston Demons Footy Club and their events. They usually have Coopers shipped in. And there was an Aussie pie place in Boston for a while, and he also used to serve James Bogues, which is another Aussie beer that I'm fond of.
Tassie beer?
Yeah.
It's gone pear-shaped, isn't it?
Yeah, it's closing.
It's closed.
Is it Bogues or Cascade?
I think it's Bogues, isn't it?
In that case, I better hurry the whole up.
You need to just get all the stuff you can, Bill. Yeah, exactly. It was fantastic to meet you, so, and you'll be looking forward. So your first game of AFL Footy Live is be Thursday night.
Thursday night at
Cats and the Saints.
Yeah, Thursday night at the stadium. And taking a tip from Brisbane, I'm calling the stadium the Gimba.
Yes. Do you watch the games religiously at home? Or are they on at ridiculous hours?
They're on at ridiculous hours, and I did watch, and, you know, I've had some things happen in my life this year where I haven't been
able to do that.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I'm here, actually, too.
Well, enjoy
as
much as you can, and it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. So you'll see this one in the Melbourne game.
The Melbourne game, yes.
And then head home after.
Yeah, literally, I'm going to the Melbourne game, and then the next morning I'm flying out.
Okay.
Going back home.
Well, enjoy, and great to have you come and join us on
the
podcast.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Keep getting on the XXX, Bill. And also tweet in stuff as well.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire. Locally owned and operated for over 40 years.